I'm Dean Olscher, and you're listening to The Really Big Questions. It's the podcast where we ask the really big questions. Today, our question is, what is this thing called love?
Is it a chemical thing?
How do I know it's real?
What is the difference happening in your brain between liking somebody and the long-term loving somebody?
Over the past few months, I've been gathering your questions about love on Facebook and out on the town.
Why do people lose their head over love? I mean, lose all rationality.
Are you going to tell me the answer to my question?
I don't actually know the answers, but I know someone who does. Dr. Lucy Brown studies people who are head over heels in love. She looks at their brains.
I'm going to close the door so the dogs can't come in.
Lucy Brown works out of her home office on City Island in the Bronx. And if you go inside, you can see a lot of books on neuroscience, which is what you would expect, but also right by her computer, books about love and art and literature. And also, she's got a plastic model of a human brain there and a picture of her husband, her current husband. Lucy Brown was widowed 7 years ago, and then she met a new guy.
I was very lucky and fell in love, fell very deeply in love. And so here I had been studying early stage intense romantic love, and I had a chance to do what all good physicians are supposed to do and study themselves. So indeed I did.
At the time, Lucy Brown was putting people who were madly in love into an MRI to see which parts of their brains were active when they looked at a picture of their sweetheart. And then she did the same thing herself. So her desk photo of her husband shares its frame with a picture of her brain scan. It's the outline of her head with the cranium showing yellow and red patches in the parts of her brain that were active when she thought of him.
This is cutting the brain this way.
Okay.
This is my nose here. Mm-hmm. So I hope you're seeing the glistening gold and the red of a tapestry. That's
It looks like a map of the sea with islands. Lucy Brown says the brain behaves differently if you look at your sweetheart's face than it does if you look at someone else who you know well but you don't feel strongly about. So she has her subjects bring a photo of a neutral person as a control. And what lights up differs from person to person. But everyone who is madly in love shows activation in one region of the brain.
People who have just gotten a shot of cocaine, by the way, show an activation in this exact same region. When they are describing euphoria, this part of the brain, the ventral tegmental area, is active also.
Lucy Brown has lots of pictures of brains of people who are madly in love. Okay, so show me these pictures, because you're kind of, you're taking the fun out of love.
Oh, before I show you the pictures, I want to say something very important. Certainly for me, it's not taking the fun out of love. In fact, it makes it even more fun that we know about some of the mechanics or brain systems. For me, it enriches the experience. For the guy who built the Ferrari, right? Do you think it's any less of a pleasure for him to put his foot on the throttle? He maybe gets even more of a pleasure. Hey, I built this to really go. You know, he understands it fully and can still love it. I like to say to people who say that to me, hey, we were built to experience magic.
The image of a cranium fills Lucy Brown's computer screen, and it is very colorful. Lots of bright reds and yellows. And the picture we're looking at right now is a compilation of a lot of lovesick people showing activity in the ventral tegmental area.
You can see from this picture it's right in the middle of the brain, but at the top of what we call the brain stem, it's the base of the brain, really. This is that reflex level part of the brain that some people call a primitive part of the brain.
So this is the kind of activity that you would see in all kinds of animals, not just humans.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so this was part of our hypothesis that romantic love is a developed form of a mammalian drive, not just uniquely human, but a mammalian drive, those two words are important, drive, not just emotion, to pursue preferred mates.
So you think animals fall in love, animals other than humans?
It's not, I think, again, that romantic love, as we understand it, is a developed form of what we're talking about in other animals.
So that's Lucy Brown's answer to why we fall in love. It's part of our mating drive, along with the sex drive. She says they're two different things, the love drive and the sex drive. And Lucy Brown even thinks that the love drive is stronger than the sex drive because you can suppress the sex drive better. People who are madly in love, they just can't stop thinking about that person who is, to them, unlike all others. And this also explains why people who are in love can be so irrational.
For many people, they understand themselves better when they realize, oh, no wonder I'm acting so crazy, you know? Uh-huh. No wonder I'm so totally enthralled. This isn't just me. It's so important to nature that I have this system, you know, that it's in all these, even these other lower animals, and I am part of a whole bigger picture.
I can be forgiven my foolishness.
Yes, exactly. Emotions we keep thinking we can control. But when you're thirsty, you can't control that, and it's better if you can't, because you need it. You need it to survive.
Now, as everybody knows, that crazy, obsessive stage of love does not usually last. And for some people, if you're lucky, it turns into a different kind of love, which they call attachment love. Now, at first, Lucy Brown was only looking at the brains of people who were in that obsessive stage, but then she branched out. And the first brain that she looked at that was past the crazy stage belonged to the Esquire magazine writer, A.J. Jacobs.
That's it. They wanted to scientifically know whether I loved my wife. And if I did, how did I love her?
I visited A.J. Jacobs in his apartment in New York City. I've been reading him for many years in Esquire because he makes me laugh every time he does one of his extreme immersion journalism escapades. One year, for example, he lived according to the dictates of the Bible for his book, The Year of Living Biblically, in which he actually does throw a stone at an adulterer. And so when he wanted to know more about the science of love for a magazine article, he decided to have his own brain scanned.
So I went in there and they put me inside an MRI machine and took images of my brain, and they gave me scenarios. So at one point I was looking at a sexy picture of my wife. Another point I was looking at a more romantic dinner with my wife. And another point I was just trying to think of attachment and maybe sitting on the couch watching TV with my wife. So they would chart these different scenarios. And then, as the kicker, they showed me pictures of Angelina Jolie to see how my brain reacted to her. Was I more sexually attracted? Was I more in love with Angelina Jolie than my wife?
And did you pick Angelina Jolie as someone who you find attractive?
Yes.
Yes.
It was my choice. And I do find her attractive.
Okay.
And it was actually very stressful, as you can imagine, because
your whole marriage is on the line.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, science. If it's going to say, I don't love my wife, what's going to happen?
What do you do next?
Yeah.
Now, when AJ looked at the pictures of his wife, the MRI showed that he felt attachment love for her and he felt lust for her.
But for romance, for him, he did not. The romances had kind of gone.
Lucy Brown showed me AJ's brain scan. And in fact, there was no romance, but lots of attachment.
Attachment is not a bad thing. He had a huge activation in this part of the brain called the ventral pallidum. So looking at this image, this is the front of his brain. This is the back. When I saw this, I just, you know, leapt up. Oh, this is great. The ventral pallidum. This has been shown in prairie voles to be so important for pair bonding.
And as it happens, prairie voles show up a lot in the science of love. And the reason that these little mousy creatures fascinate researchers is because, unlike almost all other mammals, prairie voles are monogamous. And A.J. Jacobs was very happy to know that he loved his wife like a prairie vole. And I had to wonder, what kind of woman wants to hear that from her husband? So I asked J.J. to introduce me to his wife.
Absolutely. Yeah, please meet her. She's wonderful. I love her in a very mellow, low-key, not head-over-heels way.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Dean.
Hi, I'm Julie.
To be honest, Julie did not seem very put out that a picture of her did not activate AJ's ventral tegmental area.
I had a feeling his would be a little different.
How long had you been married by the time?
At least 10 years.
Yeah. So this does not come as a surprise, right? That you would have a different brain scan from people who are currently newly in love.
I'd be a little nervous if he was still feeling that. I'd be like,
that's true. If I trembled when I was around her, I mean, that would be horrible. I am so thankful I'm over that phase of love. You know, I mean, some people love the roller coaster emotions. I do not. I like sort of, you know, the Segway or the people walker at the airport. I just don't need, because it was so excruciating when we first started going out those first few months. You know, when I would call her and she would say, hey, how you doing? You want to hang out? And I'd say, what does that mean? Does she want to hang out as a friend, as a part? It was horrible, the anguish I went through. And now I am so much happier.
Julie says there was one thing about the experiment that surprised her.
I knew he loved me. I was assuming he would be more sexually attracted to Angelina Jolie.
But in fact, he wasn't. He was just as attracted to Julie. His love for Julie was complex. It used more of what some people call the new brain, which is the more cognitive and less primitive part. And this corresponds pretty well with A.J. Jacobs' views on love. He told me later that he thinks that we romanticize romance too much. In fact, he wrote an essay in Esquire comparing the love lives of Charles Darwin and William Shakespeare.
Charles Darwin actually, before he proposed to his wife, wrote a pro-con list. Here are the pros of marriage, that I'll have a companion. And here are the cons of marriage, that I won't get to go out with my guy friends as much. I don't think he called them guy friends. But and then he decided the pros outweighed the cons. He had a great marriage. He had 10 kids, and they were exceedingly happy. William Shakespeare, who's known for writing these wonderful, passionate, head-over-heels sonnets, that guy had a terrible marriage. I mean, that guy, he left his wife their second best bed. Yeah. That was it.
That's cold.
And he was, you know, having affairs. From the research that I've done, it was not a good marriage. So I much prefer the Charles Darwin pro-con rational love to the head-over-heels Shakespearean love.
Rational love.
Yeah, I know. It does sound a little paradoxical. But I actually had a business idea, and you can get in on this if you want.
Okay,
ground floor.
Just between you and me.
Yeah. It is more realistic Valentine's Day candy and cards.
Right.
So it would be, you could give your wife a card saying, you know, the pros of being married to you outweigh the cons. Or, you know, they could be, the candy instead of a heart could be in the shape of a frontal cortex. So I'm all for that.
If you want to find out more about AJ's sensible Valentine, go to our website, where we've got an e-Valentine for rational lovers that you can send. Just go to trbq.org. Read all about the face-off between Angelina Jolie and A.J. Jacobs' wife, Julie, on A.J.'s website, ajjacobs.com. And for lots more about love, go to our website. That's trbq.org. The Really Big Questions podcast is produced by Sound Vision Productions with funding from the National Science Foundation. I'm Dean Olscher.